nerderotic.com.
So the Rings of Power, Harry Potter, we got a lot of stuff. And the biggest shit show is going to be the Odyssey. It's going to be the Odyssey.
That's right.
Didn't have that on my bingo card. Can't fucking wait for it to be successful, and all the people that said it's going to flop will change their fucking argument.
Who's saying it's going to flop?
Okay. Every fucking body is saying it's going to flop. All these motherfuckers.
Hold on. I think there's a lot of I think there's a lot of dumb motherfuckers on Twitter saying that, and people in our comment section. I don't know how many creators have come out and said that stuff. Again, I don't think it. We've had this discussion multiple times on it. I don't think it'll flop. I think there's a chance that it. We talked about the whole thing. How do you define a disappointment with a movie like this? And so we had that whole conversation last week. I think it certainly could be impacted by some of this noise and some of the backlash, but I don't think that's going to be enough to make a movie like this with Chris Nolan, with The Odyssey, be a flop. You know,
to say that it will flop is the equivalent of those guys saying that Mandalorian and Grogu was going to make $2 billion.
Where are those guys, by the way?
Can we do a wellness check on those guys?
Well, John Campia said Supergirls could make a billion.
He also said Mando and Grogu could make a billion.
He did.
I love that. Yeah, but I also think that's the most interesting outcome, because even if it's if it's a great movie, but it also destroys the Odyssey and it does well, the effects of that in Hollywood will be the excuse. Well, look, you can use DEI, you can do all of this stuff, and you can still make money. Like, that could have knock-on effects for the industry, as they now think they can point to that example of their ideology winning. And so I do think there could be greater conversations about this than even the movie itself when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I just don't think Helena Troy is going to be in it much, and I don't think Ellen Page is going to be in it much, but they're going to be highly discussed. But I don't think they're going to be in the movie much.
That's not
at all.
The only thing, though. So there's some side cast members. Yeah, like, there's a lot of diversity in the cast.
And Emily Wilson's translation.
So, and like, honestly, the movie doesn't look great. The trailers don't look great.
Yeah, they do.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they do. It looks awesome. No.
I think there's a chance it could suck.
Awesome.
It could make money and suck. So we don't want to conflate that.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
a lot of shame movies have made a lot of money.
Story so. Now.
Well, you can bring up a lot of movies. Are there a lot of Nolan movies that have sucked and made a lot of money?
Tenet.
There's always a first.
Yeah. Again, the key is
Dark Knight Rises.
The key is a lot. The key is a lot. Not one.
Yeah.
You know,
how many of his movies does it need to be to count?
Let me move the goalpost over here.
I mean, again, I will bring up how we love Rotten Tomatoes when it's a negative score. But what is our reference for good? And every Nolan movie has a good reception. Every single one has, on every single metric that you can find, has a good to great reception. That is just a fact.
Except for this last trip.
So what are we going to put as the measuring stick there? What is it? Your individual opinion? My individual opinion is that Mad Max Fury Road sucks. Donkey balls. Every fucking body loves that movie, though, and it was a success. So
no,
like,
it wasn't a success.
It wasn't.
It was not a financial success. The first one was not a financial success.
It didn't flop, did it?
It underperformed.
Okay, underperformed, but it still made money.
Not enough to make another sequel.
Yeah, and everybody fucking loved that movie. And so... my individual opinion is that movie sucks. I fucking hate it. I hate it as much as I hate Toy Story.
Well, we use what ratings we do. We try to give context. Like, for movies with Rotten Tomatoes, I wouldn't trust anything, because you have to go through all these flaming. Since Captain Marvel, they changed the system. With TV shows, a little bit more, but I always try to compare it with Metacritic, which I think is a little better. And then you can go to IMDb too. But both
and
of them
Criticless,
are
Criticless. And you can use Criticless.
Criticless. Which is not padded, but the other ones are. Like, IMDb, you can't really trust. I mean, they were removing bad reviews from Rings.
Well, I mean,
of Power.
You can't trust anything with just sheer numbers. It's just guidelines. It's always been just guidelines. Yeah, we've just always done that.
Rotten Tomatoes is just different now, right?
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes is different. Instead, it used to be, man, if this has a 90, that's probably really fucking good. If it has, you know, a 40, it's probably pretty fucking bad from the audience. Right. Now, because so much is limited to how restrictive it is, you have to be very you have to go through a lot of fucking hoops to rate on Rotten Tomatoes, connect these accounts, blah, blah, blah. Now, if a movie has like a 97, 98% audience score, likely it was received very, very well by the people that went and saw it. If it has like an 88, you're like, ooh, I don't know. Like that's where it's at this point.
That is very true.
The latest, so the Odyssey, the latest clip they just put out, it's not ratioed, but and there's 267,000 views in 2 days. 9,200 up, 5,100 down.
That's a lot better than I thought it would be, but they didn't put Black Helena Troy in it, and if they did, it would have been ratioed.
Yeah, I think that's why I have this discussion, even though Nolan is a fucking monster in Hollywood, and he's had all these successes and highly respected, has a huge fan base. With all that being said, we're seeing much more backlash for this before it even comes out than we've really... It's unlike anything we've kind of ever seen for Nolan. You would, I guess, know better, Jeremy, if I'm wrong about that.
Absolutely. But I mean, Elon Musk has been leading the charge. So, yeah, I mean, Elon has said he's lost his principles. He's abandoned his principles. And it, just in general, Black Helena Troy is a fucking problem. My video on it, I said, the Odyssey should fail. But it probably won't. And that's the context that's needed. Because on the premise, yeah, if you're putting a trans person into the role of... I don't think Ellen Page is Achilles. But even still, like I said, casting Ellen Page in a movie based on what Ellen Page has done in previous roles with the Umbrella Academy, I think that's a huge issue. A race swap of Helen of Troy... That's an issue. I don't give a fuck about this thing where people virtue signaling over Greek. None of you motherfuckers know a Greek fucking actor to save your life anyway. Like, John you're Stamos. You want John fucking Stamos to be leading in the fucking Odyssey? When would you ever
They can make him Elpenor.
Well, if somebody was to say, Gary, who's your ideal person in an Odyssey movie, you would have never said John Stamos until this happened.
I would prefer John Stamos over that. Elliot Page.
You want Jennifer fucking Aniston so she can talk about how you're a racist
Jennifer Aniston would be a better Helen of Troy. She would.
The point being is that nobody knows any prominent Greek actors. You can't name five of them yet.
No, but you can go to Greece and cast them.
Why?
Like,
Why?
Because I've been arguing the same thing for Harry. I've been arguing the same thing for Harry Potter.
Whoa. So nobody was cast in Troy that was Greek, and nobody fucking cared. Still made a lot of fucking money.
It does matter. Period. So
the original Odyssey in 97 didn't have any major Greek actors.
They were Greek passing, and that was good enough.
That's what I think is much more important. Like, I'm with you, Jeremy. I think there's some people who don't actually care that there's not any Greek actors.
Yes.
The biggest thing is that
it changes something.
It's a virtue signal.
I should be able to look and be like, yeah, that looks like ancient Greece, not see fucking blacks, right? That's the key for 99%.
Agreed. Like I said on this last week, it's not that no Greek actors are in it because nobody really cares about that. It's that you put a black woman as Helen of Troy.
Well, I think
that's
everyone does.
Problem.
They just don't know what they...
That's so, the problem.
There is something. There's been loads of English comedies which have gone over to America. They kept exactly the same script. They put American actors in them and it's died. Nobody knows why. There is something that's lost in the translation of removing the English people to replacing them with the Americans. I can't tell you what it is, but you can go and watch the Inbetweeners, the English and the Americans, the first episode. It's an entirely different show just by the nation of it. There is something about the culture of people which changes. It makes you feel like you're there. I do think when it comes to Harry Potter, the fact that she tried to get just sort of British people in the show gave it a sort of sense and an atmosphere of being in that place. And I think the same thing would be in the Odyssey. The only thing is, we're never going to get that. So we're never going to have anything to actually compare it against. But I don't think that doesn't mean there's not something that's lost by just having, at this point it's completely destroyed, but having just even like passing people compared to authentic people, I still think there would be something that makes it more sort of immersive.
But I'm asking, play devil's advocate a little bit on that point. I agree with you with the Harry Potter stuff. I think there's a difference in it's set in like the real world in the 90s, but a magical world, as opposed to, yeah, if we cast a modern day Greek person, it's really going to give us the culture and vibe of 4,000 fucking years ago ancient Greece. You know what I mean? I agree with you in principle, but just say
one of the reasons I would take the position that I did is because I think if you give these people an inch, they will take a mile. And so I would rather just go, no, everyone's Greek, just can't push it as far as you can.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing too, it's using their rules against them too, right? It's beating them over the head with it.
Representation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm standing on business. Okay, don't put black women in the roles of a white woman. That's all I care about. All right. I'm very racist when it comes to this Twitter. Okay. You can go ahead and clip me on that. That's all I care about is the race swapping.
Dead name X, Jeremy.
Yeah. Sorry. Apologize.
I still call it Twitter. I always will.
Everybody calls it Twitter
all the time.
Yeah. I talk to Grok like it's Twitter.
You're saying you don't want Ryan Gosling to play Black Panther?
No, I totally do.
No, well, I mean, I do in a world to react to their bullshit, but yes, in theory, I don't want that. I would never want that.
Well,
but in a world where they've race swapped everything, then yes, to counter that.
Exactly.
So if it was Nolan's next movie,
it didn't make the cut in my last Odyssey video, but I might have talked about this before, but the Aaron Pierre stuff with Black Panther, I went down that rabbit hole and it's racism, right? When like if a white person played a black role, but when it's reverse, it's colorism in their eyes. And I watched a bunch of videos of them trying to rationalize how Aaron Pierre wouldn't be a good Black Panther. And I agree with him, by the way. He should be a chocolate Black Panther. But they were really upset about it. They were like very upset about it. So their argument is always, this is fictional. It doesn't matter. So if it doesn't matter, why not just cast it correctly, you know, to where it looks authentic?
Because it does matter, Gary.
Because it does matter. But it because does, ultimately but, it does matter.
But because they don't like the mayor being put back on them because they're actually the most racist.
But there is a bottom line here. And the
when they're being racist, it's colorism.
Is we all on this panel, every single one of us have overlooked these same fucking things if the thing is good. We did it with One Piece. One Piece literally has a trans fucking actor in it. It has tons of fucking race swaps. And we fucking me and Gary loved One Piece live action.
Like the big fucking
time. Me too. I'm sure you did. But so we've all overlooked this Japan shit when it's weed. Good. We just have.
Heimdall, Thor.
Even with He-Man, I mean, that is a race swap. And I know everybody likes Idris Elba, but it's a race swap. Samuel L. Jackson is Nick Fury. It is what it is. So we'll see how this plays out in this movie.
Well, but, Jeremy, I don't know about you, but I've never been race swap.
I have, but I still overlook it when it's good. Go ahead.
I'm actually okay if they cast a great actor and they keep the key.
That's how they get you, though. That's how they get you.
That's the point,
All the way back to Michael Clarke Duncan as Kingpin, if they keep the key identifying features of the character, okay, that's what's important to me. And sometimes the skin color isn't a key identifying feature of a character. Sometimes it is. Little Mermaid, redhead, pale skin. You can't get away with race swapping that. But other characters, sometimes I think you can pull it off.
I think for most people, it's going to come down to either how much you care about something or how much you're aware of something.
That is true.
If a lot of people who tune in to watch the MCU didn't know shit about Nick Fury, then Samuel Jackson, okay, cool. Samuel Jackson's Nick Fury. And it doesn't really like bother them that much. Now, I'm not saying we've got a bunch of fucking fanboys for the Odyssey necessarily,
but we're all somewhat aware.
Obvious.
Well, the other thing too, with
anyone in the world knows that Helen of Troy is not a fucking black person.
Right.
Nick Fury thing is that he was race swapped in the Ultimate Universe, which is what they based that version of Fury off of.
Yeah, she's like, she takes Wakanda black and takes it to another level. That's how black Helen of Troy is.
But to Ryan's point, like with comics, you're talking about a very like particular audience. Like if you compare comic readers who saw the MCU movies to actual normies, I mean, it's not even close. Normies outweigh that audience altogether. The Odyssey is such an old story. It's such a classic story that like everyone knows about it to some extent or has seen a variation of it to some extent. And so it's going to have a lot more of an impact when you do those kinds of changes.
Everyone except for Lupita Nyong'o.
Lupita Nyong'o.
But that's the point.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but that's the point. It is down to how much of a cultural influence it has. So ancient Greece has affected all of Western culture.
Yes.
But I can perfectly understand why QT Gatwood didn't know anything about Doctor Who, because he's not British, but it really affected British culture. James Bond is a huge part of British culture. And so when this is sort of an integral, important point of someone's culture, then it matters more whether you change it or not, and to the sort of overall integrity of it. Like, I'm not surprised that Nyong'o didn't know anything about ancient Greece. I wouldn't expect her to, because it hasn't affected her culturally. Hey,
I had a
Happy
really
June
interesting.
Well, there's a lawsuit going on about that name.
Just on the whole race swapping discussion, I had a really interesting reaction when, and oh, look, the live action Cowboy Bebop was an abomination, hate it. But when I first saw the casting of them in their outfits, right, I saw the character Jet. And I instantly recognized him as Jet before, like the picture came up and I didn't even know this was a Cowboy Bebop live action. And I saw the character, the actor cast as Jet, and I instantly identified him as Jet, so much so I forgot Jet was white and they race swapped him because he looked so much like the character. But then I saw Faye Valentine, who had the same color skin, but she was so flat chested compared to the anime that she did not look like the character at all.
Well, like to Ryan,
I just
to
love that that's where you specifically draw the line.
Oh my gosh.
He identified like, the people on the panel for you to go on.
That was the first thing I noticed.
To Ryan, that could have only been worse if Odin had said it.
to Ryan's point about it's how much you know you really know about it. Like me and Gary didn't know anything about One Piece.
Yeah.
And so we both loved the live action one and two. But like Fake Wizard, how many race swaps are in that fucking show? Just
a lot.
Like a lot. Like
a lot.
A lot. Yeah. A lot. And so, what's funny
so
is
me and Gary had One Piece fans just crushing us. Like, you motherfuckers. You know what I mean? It's because they cared so much about it. We had no understanding of how it affected it. However, just watching it as a show, none of the race swaps or anything like that affected the storytelling that I saw. You know, it wasn't
that's
like
the problem, though,
like,
with this. Yeah. That's the problem with like this discussion though now, because it's like, hey, sometimes it could serve the writing, but the people that are in the hot seat of actually doing the writing now, the creativity part in Hollywood, are hijacking that. Like sometimes it can work, sometimes it could be okay. The only real reason that we're so sensitive about race swapping characters is because what it has been done with, like what they have done mm-hmm. with it. Like Shad made a great point with Michael Clark Duncan, like as Kingpin. He was a good Kingpin. He was back with the original Daredevil. But we looked at that. We didn't care at the time. But
Billy
now
D. Williams.
It has
become Billy D. Williams. Yep.
But now they have taken that and it's like they have hijacked it. They have weaponized it. And now we're stuck in this middle ground of discussion where it's like, well, it's either all or nothing, because if we give them an inch, they'll take the mile, and mm-hmm. they keep taking the mile.
Yeah.
But it's like. I don't know if you guys remember The Batman when it came out, but during my review, I discussed some of the race swap characters. Right? Now, even though I thought that Zoe Kravitz and Robert Pattinson had good chemistry and those parts of it worked, like, and yes, Eartha Kitt, I don't want to hear shit about that, but yeah. Like they made a conscious decision to not make her look like she does in the comics. And you have to wonder what the motivations were. And then you realize 3/4 of the way through the movie where she talks about all the privileged right. white men in Gotham, right? That, oh, this is why they did yep. that. They made yep. a very specific decision to do that for these reasons.
That's where it gets weaponized.
Did she do well mm-hmm. with the character? I think so. Did they have good chemistry? I think so. But that decision to race swap that character was motivated in something other than just, oh, her and Robert had great chemistry. She was just the best person for the role. No. Right. You made a decision to do that.
And Ryan, for the record, you liked The Batman.
I did, but I didn't like it as much as I would have.
I know. And if I end up liking The Odyssey, I'm going to make a car video review. I'm going to be wearing a Confederate flag hat, and I'm going to talk about everything, but I'm going to say one thing that bothered me was that there were too many good black people. Didn't like that. Didn't like that. And I'll get clipped and thrown all over Twitter. But
like many things, the problem with this is a question of scale. So in a one-to-one, I could talk to Shad about something. We have a nuanced discussion about like He-Man, for example. Yeah. But if you want to do something where you're making a rule for other people or an entire industry, it has to be a uniform rule for everybody. And then you have to realize, well, now I have to think of the fact that they will push it as far as possible. And so you can be like, well, yeah. I have no problem with Idris Elba because I personally don't know. But if you're creating a movie, then we have to make a rule for everybody, not just whatever exceptions you can come up with. I think that's a lot of it. They think of it in an individual scale rather than the larger scale of an entire industry.
With side characters, if the movie's good, you put up with it. But, I mean, you still don't love it. Like Jeffrey Wright being Jim Gordon.
I don't like it.
I don't love it.
But, I don't even like Lawrence. Jimmy, when you're saying we overlook stuff, I think it goes on a case-by-case basis. But yeah. I think that it always, if you have some knowledge of it, maybe Shad's case is different, and I'll take Shad out of this, but like for me, if you have some knowledge of it, you could still maybe enjoy that thing, but it can affect, like, there's levels to this, right? It's on a spectrum, shall we say, right? So, as opposed to maybe you could have loved everything about this, Well, maybe that brings it down a couple notches because of that. Doesn't mean that overall in totality you didn't enjoy it.
No, I know, but I do. Ruined it, but I do. Yeah. I agree with what you're saying, but I do think Man of Steel is a perfect example of all of the arguments and debates we have had on that fucking movie. Nobody has ever brought up Perry White as a race swap. No one. I have not heard it anyway. Yeah,
it depends on
it's completely overlooked.
You can be completely against it, but it's overlooked because he's a side character, right? But
and if you make Lawrence
Superman,
Fishburne.
and he's a good actor, but
he is a good actor.
If you make Superman black, or I don't know, Snape black, or Batman black, then it becomes a what? Or Helena Troy?
Yeah.
Or Helena Troy black. Yeah. It becomes a bit of an issue, right? Or you make elves black when they are specifically described in the text, and it takes
You also have to think that the people that are doing this, they don't just see it as just a skin color. They see it as an entire culture that now has to be brought into it. And so now you will see a predator with dreads just because, he's a black guy underneath all of the costume.
He's coded.
Yeah. And so it's not just the skin color that changes or the actor that changes. They do go on to change everything else because now we have to represent everything about the actor rather than just putting him in the role.
Like the Klingon fathers have to abandon their children because they're black now.
Yep. No, but the reason this is such a prominent discussion is because with great power comes great responsibility. And when Nolan is the top guy in Hollywood and he takes on The Odyssey and he decides to fucking put, a bunch of black people in the movie. And, you got Travis fucking Scott who killed a bunch of fucking people, allegedly, or got a bunch of people killed, allegedly. And you have Black Helen of Troy, who doesn't even know what the Odyssey is. You got Ellen Page, and then the rumors started spreading about it being Achilles. And there's no counter to that because he doesn't get involved in that shit about answering. But the narrative has been set at that point in time, and so it's going to be a shit show. And we'll see what happens. But I'm
just
really
want to point out
for the discussion.
Lupita Nyong'o went to Yale. Right. And she has a master's degree in fine arts.
But were they the people who got sued for their entrance exams being not exactly fair?
Yeah.
Strange, that.
That's pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy.
Interesting.
But it's the Odyssey is going to be a complete fucking shit show on so many levels, and I love it. I'm here for it. But it just really depends on the prominence of the race swap and how it affects the story. It certainly affects the Rings of Power, absolutely affects the Rings of Power. And their whole motivation was to subvert Tolkien's work. So people see that motivation and that affects their opinion, and it should. It should, just like if you watched all of Toy Story and they emasculate fucking Buzz and Woody and you're pissed, then you should be pissed.
The Rings of Power analogy to the Odyssey is particularly because the Emily Wilson stuff is, when you're doing a translation, all these words can mean all these different things. So I have to choose the words. Rings of Power, their actors, when they were doing the marketing, said it almost exactly the same thing. That, there's gaps and there's words and there's interpretation that leaves space for you to put your own thing in. And so they're actually very similar in those comparisons of people going, we don't exactly know. And so that puts up this weird haze that we can write our own thing in. And it's the glee with which they do it.
Odin and Ryan, do you guys buy the box office theory numbers that are out there right now for the Odyssey?
Last I saw, they hadn't been public yet.
I haven't seen them because they were high on a paywall at first.
Box office theory currently projecting 97 to 132 million opening weekend in the U.S. and a total domestic gross between 325 and 475 million domestically. That's fucking crazy to even be able to project that right now. But that's from box office theory.
Pre-sales opened like a couple weeks ago. So
pre-sales look really good for IMAX. Nowhere near the stratosphere of Spider-Man. Yeah. Spider-Man's pre-sales are fucking insane.
Odyssey's are looking good, though, right?
It is a different thing.
We talk about this a lot. There's a difference between a movie like this than an MCU or like a franchise type of movie where people are worried about spoilers and there's so much FOMO at opening weekend and stuff. I can buy $100 million opening for it.
Yeah, that sounds
sure.
That would be the second biggest, or that would be the biggest opening of Nolan's career outside of Batman. If it hits not over just for inflation, $100 million.
Higher ticket prices, and IMAX prices.
Adjusted for inflation is gay. I don't get into
it's
all that.
It's not gay.
It's accurate. Wait, did it say you don't get into politics?
How
is it gay when it comes to Nolan's film? Come on, get the fuck out of here.
First of all, I have said that for years.
Go hug your body pillow.
For years. Everything's different.
Every year you say it, it gets worse and more stupid.
Yeah, you gotta take the last
20 years, thousands of dollars.
You're right that everything's different, Jeremy. Everything is different. But context is important.
Right, context. But it's still like when Gone with the Wind came out, there was nothing. Now, today, there's everything that you can do anything. You can watch it everywhere.
Death in America in a dust bowl and, leading up to World War II. But there's nothing going on.
Shouldn't shit on Mandalorian and Grogu for what it's doing at the box office.
The point is everything is relative to the time we're in. So Mandalorian and Grogu flopping.
That's the point of inflation.
Flopping based on the budget right now.
And then you correct for inflation. It's even worse.
It's all relative to the budget and the time we're in, not comparing it to 25 years ago and all of that. Like it's
okay. I think what it comes down to is butts and seats, dude. That's the issue.
And that's where the
ticket prices come. Right, there's less people seeing movies now than so 15 years ago.
So let's say the Odyssey does $1 billion. I don't think it will do $1 billion, but let's hypothetically say it does $1 billion. We may have 5 movies this year do $1 billion, maybe. And so that would put it in the top 5 movies of the year. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a success by any measure of being in a top 5 movie of the year. That's the way you judge it. But if there was 50 movies that hit $1 billion, then that suddenly changes the dynamic of saying, well, I mean, it's 50 movies that hit $1 billion, so it's really not a success.
I think a lot of people are going to go see this because it's a Nolan film and because he's taking on the Odyssey. I think that,
the billion thing, it would be a failure if it costs Rise of Skywalker. $600 million. It's like, it made $1 billion, but it also lost money. Right. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happening with the Odyssey.
Relative to the budget,
which means relative to the times, which means relative.
I think we can all agree that inflation is gay.
You wouldn't draw a line at $1 billion anyway. You draw it at the top 5. Because the top 5 will always be.
Whenever people add the adjusted for inflation, it's like this whole I'm just so smart. Here's the
deal. You're going to be in a car with him, Ryan.
I'm adjusting for inflation today.
Jeremy. You're starting to win me over. In fact, whenever we look at the gross of a film compared to its budget, that's also gay. The people doing that are just trying to sound too smart.
Well, no, I think that's relative. Thanks, in the Chad. Moment
I have
you're
my
talking
pinky
about.
Out when I adjust for inflation.
Well, yeah, but everything is relative to something else.
Sometimes things aren't just specifically black and white. In the same vein, you mentioned, hey, if it finishes the top 5 movie of the year, makes $1 million.
This would be black and white, though.
Like all these black. Do matter. I don't think
this would be
adjusted for inflation is not the end all be all of anything that ever mentioned.
I agree.
Everything needs to be held in context.
It's very good for context.
Superman and Man of Steel, right? How many people are going to these movies? How many people are interested in universes? All of those things do matter and should matter. Yes. And I don't think you should just discount any of them.
Right. But when you only bring inflation, but are you going to bring up how many people are pirating on the internet? All of the context matters, not some of the context.
Jeremy, how long has piracy been around on the internet?
You're the one that's discounting it. What are you talking about?
I'm saying once we start inserting one piece of context, we need to add 5 other pieces of context.
What do you mean, okay?
Forget all of that.
The context is how much money it makes.
On a simple baseline instead of complicating it.
I feel like I'm listening to Kamala Harris right now.
The reason we use inflation... The reason you add inflation in is so you can zoom out and use things relative to the entirety of time rather than your current year. So you are standardizing everything over since the beginning of time, essentially.
Is that context?
So you can compare everything on the same level.
Yeah.
So rather than the top 5 in a year, you can now do the top 5 of all time. That's the only difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and that just overcomplicates the conversation. I simply said it would be the biggest opening of his career outside of the Batman movies. That's all I said. And he's like, well, adjusted for inflation. It's like,
It will be monetarily, it will be.
That's all I was saying. And bringing this bullshit into it, it's like, who cares? Like, we can add more context to it. And in reality, who knows how much it's done if you start bringing every little piece of nuance into it in detail. I'm just saying, on pure Jeremy, dollars and cents, it would be the biggest opening of his career.
Would you say that the most number of people are going to have seen this movie? Is that what the argument that you're trying to say? Biggest, most people.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
So why had to bring their money.
It's a shame you weren't saying that, because that would have been a great point.
Dark Knight Rises is his biggest opening, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So when things cost more, people spend their money on different things. They make different decisions. The money is still the money. That's all I'm judging on. It's just like when you want to talk about sports statistics. Everybody wants to bring up details. And Tom Brady passed for 5,000 yards. Well, Dan Marino passed for 4,000 or 4,500. But you had 17 games back then, or 16 games, or 18 games. And yeah, it's like, yeah,
so we're just add a judging bunch of it on a scale to the conversation.
Right. Yeah,
and that actually does matter. Right.
But then you have to ask. But then you have,
like, a lot
about the era that it was in. Yeah. Right. The offenses was relying.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And so when you bring one piece of context, you have to add like 20 pieces of context to fully make the context work. Or you can just judge it.
I am totally on board with you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my argument.
I would have just argued that we don't know what inflation is because they lie to us.
I do actually understand what Jeremy's saying. Jeremy's saying if he brings something up and somebody says, well, just for inflation, then you should also factor in a million other things that are happening.
Ryan is a sports fan, and this is why he knows what I'm talking about.
But it shouldn't just mean that's gay. We don't need that. But it probably shouldn't.
That's why I thought Odin's point about seats, because at the end of the day, that is the most important metric. The amount of people in the cinema that view the movie, regardless of money.
What's in seats?
The highest grossing.
If that was what the standard was, is like, what movie has pushed the most seats? And if that was every scale, then that's what we would discuss.
What's the highest grossing movie of all time?
We don't know that. That's
we had those numbers.
What's the highest grossing movie of all time?
Just for inflation, to be gone with it.
Because nobody questions that Gone with the Wind is the most popular, sold the most tickets, highest grossing movie of all time. And it won't even be close. Even adjusting for inflation. What's second? Star Wars?
Star Wars, right? Yes. Odin?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. And I think everything does matter, but I think the butts and seats thing does matter as well, because when you're talking about something, and maybe less for something like The Odyssey than for big franchises like Marvel Cinematic Universe and Star Wars and things like that, the reason that matters is because the size of the fan base who may then be buying toys or playing video games or be doing trading card games, like all of that stuff, it does matter when you have this shrinking audience pool. Even if a movie comes out and makes $500 million and 8 years later, another movie makes $500 million, well, you have effectively lost part of your fan base. And those are all things that we can talk
again,
about.
Yes. And I mean, if we're talking about, we're getting into it, like the adjusted for inflation thing, then like, okay, well, then we talk about the price of IMAX tickets, which is what the Odyssey is being pushed on more than any film on this level. And that is going to inflate the cost or the money that's going to make relative to any other movie. There's so many little details, but we're just talking about dollars and cents. It's a very easy, clean way to have the discussion. But if you want to muddy it up, we can do that too.
By bringing up facts and figures. Yeah, sure. We can muddy it up.
It is not a fact, because once you bring
that less people
up,
are going to see it. Is a fact. Yes.
My point is once you bring that, then you have to add about 20 other factors to give the full context, or you can just talk about it in a straight streamed line. That's my point.
In a generalized way.
Yeah, because this is what the inflation bros don't want to add is like
the inflation bros.
Inflation bros.
Inflation bros.
Inflation
bros. Okay. Inflation bros are like PC bros. They're very passionate about this topic.
Inflation masters.
Yeah, they're very fucking passionate.
Inflation again on today, Cobra. Then okay, like the inflation of Joe Biden is gay. Okay,
yeah, I'm saying if someone else is president, it might actually matter a bit more.
But that's a very nuanced discussion when you're bringing up inflation from a political discussion, because you're bringing up so many different factors. Here we're just talking about straight dollars and cents. That's all we're talking about.
You know, Jeremy, what I love
about
you. I'm
talking about gay dollars and cents.
It is Pride Month.
The thing that I love most about your arguments is that you make me feel like Wesley in The Princess Bride when he's talking to Vicini, how he says, truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Accurate.
There's a couple ways you can approach the internet. You can tell everybody what they fucking want to hear, or you can just be honest, okay? I choose to be honest. As
choose
simple
to be
as
honest.
That, okay?
That's the best way. And ultimately, when you see The Odyssey, you give your honest opinion. Yeah.
Are you implying that anybody else here is not doing that?
I'm saying that nobody really cares about the inflation argument because we all talk about this box office thing, and very rarely does it come up until
you are implying that all of us are telling people what they want to hear and not being honest.
Most people don't add the inflation thing. It's just usually an afterthought because it's usually just we just judge on a straight line scale. That's usually how this
generalized.
Goes.
You mean generalized? Yes. We're generalized. Yeah, that's usually fine. How if you're it just goes. Talking about money, that's fine.
Yeah, just being honest.
Because then we have how many people owned a video game system in 1992 versus how many owned one in 1987, and they didn't own a video game, smartphones, computers.
So if you sell your house today, you're going to sell it for 1990s prices because inflation isn't real.
That matter?
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Prices go up is inflation.
I never said it wasn't real. I said that it doesn't matter for the discussion that we're having right now because it's all relative to 2026 and where we are. And if it's dollars and dollars.
Why you adjust for inflation
only if you're comparing it to 2026 movies.
It makes it apples and apples and oranges. It goes back to something
this is like apples
that most of you don't know anything about, which is sports.
Kumquats.
But when Barry Bonds
is that why you chose
hitting,
the example rather than just inflation, which we didn't know about.
When Barry Bonds was hitting 73 home runs in a season, and everybody claimed it was because of steroids, and it's like the entire fucking league is on steroids, and there's only one man hitting 73 home runs, and it's so it doesn't matter if he's on steroids or not. Everybody's on steroids. And only one man is doing it.
Do you have proof of that?
But do you have the reason people use allegories is because it's like analogies. There is because it's like they want to put up some mystery haze to like lose the key points into the thing that they can debate over here. We all know what inflation is. We can just talk about the numbers and movies. We don't have to talk about sports for some reason. Like we know what inflation is. We know the numbers. We can do the maths. If you want to compare it to 2026 movies, of course you don't need inflation because it minimizes.
And that's what,
if you want to go back to the 1990s, it does matter.
But we're talking 3 years ago was his biggest fucking opening, which was Oppenheimer.
We've lived through the greatest period of inflation since 1990 of all time.
No. I said non-Batman movie. I said it would be his biggest opening from a non-Batman movie.
His biggest opening is from a Batman movie because he directed the Batman movies. You can't.
Yeah, but that's still different.
Them.
That's still different. Like, I mean,
it's a movie that he directed.
Jeremy used the context of the biggest open out of a non-Batman movie because those movies would have an inherent advantage
Batman, bro.
Over the other stuff.
Exactly. But apparently, I didn't add enough context.
I wanted to add more context.
Coming from a Nolan bro, that sounds.
The person has entered the Odyssey fight. The inflation bros.
That is an amazing term.
Bring it on.
So for our next topic, binge model. Let's go, everybody. Binge versus weekly.
I'm supposed to leave this fucking show.
You were. You're like, I gotta go, guys.
When I see an opportunity to rile things up, I just can't help it, man. I watch a lot of gaming channels, and they have panel shows. It's the most boring fucking thing I've ever seen in my life because everybody agrees. I hate when there's 10 people on a panel and they're like, yeah. 10 people in the world don't agree on any fucking thing. So I like to rile shit up, but I do believe everything I say. And I don't care if anybody agrees with it or not. And I'm looking forward to the Odyssey. I don't care how much people cry. The same people that said the Switch 2 were going to fail are the same people that says the Odyssey is going to fail. And they're all fucking retarded. Bye, everyone.
Since there's such a crossover from Nintendo Switch to Christopher Nolan's Odyssey.
Sometimes I like to say things just to rile people up, but I do believe everything I say.
I do believe everything I say. I just want to remind Ryan's going to